بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، وصلى الله وسلم وبارك على عبده ورسوله نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. أما بعد، السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. We're still studying the chapter that deals with the prescribed punishments in Islam. And hadith number 347 onwards deals with the punishment of the heinous sin of zina, fornication or adultery. And we know that it is different if a person, whether male or female, commits the sin of zina, of fornication, and this person has never been married and is not married or widowed. In this case, the punishment is to be flogged 100 lashes and to be sent out of his hometown somewhere far for a whole year. But if that person, male or female, happened to be married or was married in an actual marriage where he had lawful intercourse, or was widowed, or anything of this sort, meaning that he had a legitimate intercourse through marriage, and he commits the act of adultery, then his punishment is to be stoned to death. And we spoke about this before, so now we take the hadiths that are related, and if there's anything needed to be explained, we will inshallah go through it. Hadith number 347. This hadith is about a case that took place at the time of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. Two men, one of them hired a man to work for him. This man fornicated with his wife, with the employer's wife. So they asked around and they said that the young man, the one who was hired, must be stoned to death. And then other people said, no, it's okay, you can compensate. You can buy his life for a number of sheep and a slave girl. And he did that. But then knowledgeable people told him that this is not the law of Allah. So they went to the Prophet ﷺ, and the Prophet told them the law of Allah. Now, stoning, is it mentioned in the Quran? The Prophet said, ﷺ, I will judge between you by the ruling of the Book of Allah. Stoning, as we've stated before in earlier programs, was part of the Quran. It was an ayah that was revealed that the old woman and the old man, if they fornicate, then stone them to death. And then it was abrogated, but the ruling remained. You remember also we spoke about abrogation when it is done both recitation and ruling, and when it is only the recitation that is abrogated while the ruling remains. This is the case. So no one has the power or the permission to say that stoning is not mentioned in the Quran, but recitation was abrogated. And Umar, may Allah be pleased with him, says that we stoned at the time of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. And stoning was mentioned in the Quran, and we read it, and it was revealed to the Prophet. So no one should come, because I know that people will come in the future and say that it's not found in the Quran, so we will not take it. And unfortunately, this took place, but look at the foresight of Umar, may Allah be pleased with him, that he knows that people claiming to be Muslims will start to reject the Sunnah and only claim to abide by the Quran. So stoning is, by the consensus of scholars, part of the Islamic religion. And that is why the Prophet ﷺ gave the verdict, which means that if someone commits a crime that requires a prescribed punishment, if someone steals, if someone commits fornication, if someone slanders, if someone accuses someone by saying, you are a fornicator, and he does not submit for witnesses, can he, after the judge rules that he has to be punished, lashed or amputating one of his limbs, etc., can he buy himself out if someone says to another, your wife is a fornicator? Now, this is an accusation to his reputation. He has to provide four witnesses. If he's unable, this means that he has to be lashed how many? 80 times, 80 lashes. So now the judge says he has to be lashed. Can the man say, well, if this is the case, give me $100,000 and I'll forgive you? Can he do this? These prescribed punishments have to be carried out. They are from Allah Azza wa Jal, and they have to be carried out even if someone forgives. Of course, the only thing that is excluded is murder, as we discussed earlier. If someone kills someone deliberately, then his heirs have the right to three things. Either a soul for a soul, he has to be executed. Taking blood money, which is the diyah, or forgiving him for nothing. This is up to them to choose. So in the hadith, the Prophet ﷺ told him that the 100 sheep you paid, it has to go back to you. It's not lawful for him to take. As for your son, because he was unmarried, what is the punishment? Flogging him. As for the wife of that employer, the Prophet sent and dispatched one of his companions by the name of Unais, and he told him, go and ask her, because the claim itself is not sufficient. You cannot have this prescribed punishment unless there's a confession or there is evidence, which is the presence of four witnesses. So if the man claimed that he committed adultery or fornicated with that woman, and the woman says, no, he's lying, he is to be flogged and she is to be exempted. We don't have witnesses and we don't have confession. So the Prophet sent him and said, go to her and ask her. If she confesses, in this case, stone her. And she was stoned to death by that. As for the ruling of exiling a fornicator who was not married after being flogged, the most authentic opinion is that this is part of the sunnah. It has to be done. But what about if she was a woman and we flogged her? Should we dispatch her and send her away to another country or another city alone? Scholars say that this would cause even more. So in her case, she has to go with her mahram if possible. If she doesn't have any mahram who's capable of going, then in her case, she may stay. But we have to look, and this is part of the punishment for such major sins. Hadith number 348.
Narrated Abu Huraira and Zayd bin Khalid al-Juhani that Allah's Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam was asked about the slave woman who fornicated and did not marry before. He said, if she commits fornication, then flog her. And if she commits fornication again, then flog her. And if she commits fornication again, then flog her. And then sell her even for a rope. Ibn Shihab said, I do not know whether he said this. That is his statement pertaining to the sale of the slave woman. At the third or fourth time, Ibn Shihab said that the word dafir used in this text means rope.
Okay, the hadith is dafir, and dafir is a rope. The hadith is regarding a slave woman. And we know that the rules of free individuals, whether men or women, and the slave men or women are different. The slaves have a set of rules different because they are owned by their master. So a slave cannot perform Hajj. And if he does and then is freed, he has to perform another Hajj as a free man. He does not have to pray in the masjid. Jum'ah prayer is not mandatory upon him. He does not own property or money, etc. Now, there is also another ruling for a slave if he or she fornicates. The hadith is about a girl. And this applies also to males, as the scholars say. What is the punishment for fornication? It is flogging, 100 lashes. This is for the free male and female. As for the female slave, this was mentioned in the Quran, in Surah An-Nisa, that if a slave woman fornicates, then she has to be punished half of the punishment of a free woman. So what would it be? 50 lashes. And the slave man would have the same thing. Now the issue is, what about if she was married? Would she be stoned, half the stoning of a free woman? You cannot calculate this. So scholars say, no, she would not and he would not be stoned, because stoning him, killing him, is depriving the master from his wealth, his money. So he should be flogged in the same fashion, and he would not take the same ruling. And the issue is an issue of dispute among scholars. We have a short break. Stay tuned, and inshallah, we'll be right back.